Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
God, you are my everything. What an amazing song, hey? Let's just take a moment and quickly come before him. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, that you are our everything. That you have done it all, God. You've done it all. Just think of everything that you went through, Jesus, on the cross. For us, Lord Jesus, so we could have life and freedom. So we could know you. So we could spend time with you. That we could experience the goodness, your goodness, Lord, that could flood every part of who we are, Jesus. Lord, we've come here this morning, God, not just to be in church and to sing some songs, Lord, but we've come here to encounter you, Jesus. And right now we just ask you that you would just pour out your spirit upon us again, Jesus. In this room, in this place, God. Why don't you just breathe your spirit upon us afresh, Lord. Just move amongst us, God. We want to say that we need you. We don't want to rush from your presence, Lord. You're a good God. Just breathe in us, Lord. Your peace, your love, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Just move amongst us. God, we need you. We're desperate for more of you, God. We need you to move in our families, in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you to move in our city and our finances and our health, Lord. We need you. Lord, we need you. Just pour your spirit out on us, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We can't do this in our own strength, God. We can't be the people you've called us to be. We need you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Isn't God good, eh? Wonderful to be here this morning. Thank you, worship team. Can you take your seats for a moment? I'm just going to jump into the Bible. And as you know, we are working through Psalm chapter 23. It's our theme verse for the year. And every now and again, Marinette and I are talking here. Well, we're not going to mention it in this sermon or that message, but it just seems to come up again and again. And so we're going to just touch on it again, even though I was preparing for this morning. I was looking at some other verses, and I was just preparing and felt like God wanted me to say something, and then he just, once again, just brought me back to Psalm chapter 23. So let's read it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amazing. And so you got this guy, David, and he's writing this, but he's writing this with a confidence. He's writing this as somebody that is not just, it's not wishful thinking for him. He's writing this as somebody that has experienced the goodness of God. And he knows it, and he's walking confidently into an uncertain future, knowing that his future is certain. Because sometimes we can walk into an uncertain, all of us are actually walking into an uncertain future, but with God, our future is certain. We can walk into it with confidence. There's all sorts of craziness going on, but we can walk into the future with confidence. Why? Because Because he's with us. Surely you're with me. And I know that I'm going to dwell with you all the days of my life. And my future is secured in you. You know, as I was thinking about that, I kept on coming back to this pivotal statement. In verse 3, it says, he refreshes my soul. Because we can't actually have that confidence unless our soul is refreshed. Unless that, we're not trying to tell our minds to believe something. It comes from an inner confidence, a sense of knowing God is good. And that comes from our soul, that inner part of who we are. Now that word soul in Hebrew is this word nefesh, soul. And we are described as soulless creatures. And different ways, different parts of the Bible talks about us in different parts. Like we have a physical body, we've got a soul, we've got a mind, we've got a spirit. So sometimes the Bible talks about us as having four different parts. Sometimes, you know, our body and our mind and our mind, spirit, soul are combined into two parts. Most of the time it seems to divide us into three parts, being our body, our soul, and our spirit. And that's one of the easiest ways to understand how we work. So depending on the context of who the writer is writing to and what's going on in the world, but there's different parts of us. We've got a brain, we've got a soul, our emotions, our psyche, the Greek word for nefesh, which is the Hebrew word. The Greek word is the word psyche, where we get psychology from, that other part of who we are. And so here he's talking about our soul, our nefesh. But here, when he's talking about this particular part, it is our soul, it's our emotions, but it includes our mind and includes our spirit, but it's actually talking about all of who we are. So like in the Old Testament, or not the Old Testament, but a few hundred years ago, they would say, so many souls on that ship, you know, that we lost so many souls. It's talking about people, like humanity, like you as a soul, as a person, a nefesh, an individual. And so he's talking about this, and he says, you refresh my soul, my psyche, that inner part of who you are, of who I am. You refresh that. He refreshes my soul. But before he refreshes my soul, he talks about two different steps to getting there. And it says in verse 2, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me besides still waters. So there's a sense of, hey, God forces us to rest, and then he leads, and then there's green pastures, and then there's still waters, and then he nourishes us. Like rest and nourishment are important. And so it's important, he's saying, hey, rest and nourishment, and then through the rest and the nourishment and the being still, God comes and refreshes our soul. Sometimes we can start at the beginning of the year, and maybe you guys had a good holiday. We went camping in the Cedarburg for a week, and we were like so ready for the year. We're like, yeah. And then the year started, and we're like, after 3 weeks, we're like exhausted. Because it's been a busy start of the year, so many different things going on. And sometimes, like, there's a busyness, there's all sorts of things going on in our world, and God comes wants us to rest and to nourish us, so that he can revive our soul. And the rest and the nourishment is not just so that our physical bodies can be strengthened, but that our soul can be strengthened. We also have to understand that our physical bodies, like rest and nourishment for our body, is connected to our soul and is connected to our spirit. These different parts of who we are interconnected. Like our food and what we do eat can affect who we are, and our rest affects who we are, and it does affect our spirit as well. But I love what he says, there's rest and there's nourishment. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of the story about this guy in the Old Testament, a guy called Elijah. And he's an amazing prophet, and he's this guy that's full of faith. He comes and he takes on the God, these different prophets, the 400 prophets of Baal, and he calls down fire from heaven, and God answers with fire, and he chops off 400 prophets of Baal's heads, and this is a gory mess. I mean, it's hectic. But then straight off that, fear enters his heart. He's this man of faith, but fear enters his heart, and he loses hope, and he runs away into the desert. He gets scared from something that he shouldn't be scared from. And he runs into the desert, and he's like, oh, I'm going to die. God, take my life. I'm the only one to do. Like he goes from being, ah, to being, ah, you know, like what happened? Is this even the same prophet? Is this even the same guy? And then an angel of the Lord comes to him and bakes bread for him and says, I want you to sleep and eat. So he sleeps and eats, and he wakes up again. And then he says to them, sleep and eat some more. And he sleeps and eats some more. And then he goes out into the desert, and he has this radical encounter with God where God speaks to him. And in the speaking of God, this God comes, speaks to him through this still voice and gives him guidance and clarity about what he's supposed to do. And the nation has changed for generations because he had a radical encounter with God. But it started with a resting. It started with eating. It started with, and a fish, a restoring of the soul that led him into something so much better. God restores our soul. And then we can walk through the darkest valley and we'll fear no evil. Why? Because our soul has been refreshed. And if we look at Elijah, when our soul and the nefesh of who we are, when that gets depleted, then little things can become big things. Like we start to make mountains out of molehills. Like little things that shouldn't affect us, affect us. We get irritated by little things, and you can start to pick that up maybe in your family where you start to get, what's the word, Afrikaans, kapperig, is that right? You're just like, but like we go through life like that. The little things irritate us. Driving, and fear can, little something small can just upset everything. Almost as a sign, it's like, hey, your soul is empty. Your soul's dry. Like, you shouldn't be upset about this. Why are you getting upset about this? And then you look at, in the New Testament, look at Jesus, and he was 100% man, and 100% God, but he was 100% man, and yet he went through difficult times, and he was just this peace about him. Look at the Apostle Paul, and he's has this confidence about him. He's getting shipwrecked, the storms, and he's, I mean, the ship is literally falling apart. The book of Acts, and there's a peace about him. Everybody else is freaking out, but he's at peace. And he's able just to calmly navigate, not just himself, but everybody else on the ship through safety. Why? Because even though there was a storm raging on around him, his soul was refreshed. His soul was full. Later on, he's thrown into prison. In prison. He's not like, God, why have you forgiven me? God, why have you abandoned me? God, why has this happened to me? God. There's none of that. He starts worshiping God in prison. He starts worshiping God, and the chains literally fall off him. Why? Because his soul. Amazing. There's another time where they get upset with him and they take him out of the city and they stone him. He gets stoned, not the stoned as in drugs, but stoned like stone. Like they throw stones at him and a pile of rocks are on top of him. I mean, and he gets up, he dusts himself off, and he goes back with joy and starts preaching the good news. Wow! His soul was fresh. God refreshes our soul. 3 John verse 2. 3 John only has one chapter, so there's no like 1 verse 2. It's just 3 John verse 2. And he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health and be healthy, even as your soul prospers." As your soul prospers. That it would permeate us into the rest of who we are. Only God can restore our soul. Only God can bring peace. We get that from spending time with Him, spending time in His creation. Be still and know that I am the Lord. Look to the mountains. See where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We get perspective. We're here this morning to encounter Him. Later on, Johan's going to lead us into communion. But this morning, I think great prayer, God, just refresh me. Refresh me. Could you stand with me to your feet, and I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you right now, God. We pray that you would just refresh us, Lord. We need you, Jesus. Even as we go into communion and we sing this song again now, Lord, we're here to meet with you, God. We know that you are the source of our strength, and I pray that in the deepest parts of who we are, that you would refresh us again, that you would restore, bring back, bring life into dead parts and dry parts. In Jesus' name.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.